people's wishes. A society that abides by the law can see the administration becoming more powerful and play the crucial role for the development of the country. In order to realize this goal, I remain committed to the visions delineated by the leader, the general policies submitted by the leader. If we believe in this future vision, if we fulfill and operationalize the leader's policies, we will make considerable progress.
Mr. Xi'an said he seeks a powerful administration to fulfill its responsibilities. He described serving the people as the main duty of his administration, promising justice and fairness. Pezeshkian defeated ex-nuclear negotiator Saeed Jalili in the second round of the presidential election on July the 5th. The 69-year-old replaces Ebrahim Raisi, who was martyred in a helicopter crash in northwestern Iran in May. Political commentator Fuad Ezzadi expands on the remarks by the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Khamenei.
Iran has a democracy. We elect presidents with direct popular vote. And Mr. Pezeshkian won the election. A lot of Western pundits, news outlets, were saying that since he's a reformist, he's not going to be elected. So shame on them. Today his presidency starts. And both in his speech and the leader's speech, you could identify themes that would direct Mr. Pezeshkian's tenure as Iran's president. I think he is going to try to fulfill the promises that he made during his campaign. And the country's leader, as you just heard, is in line with his full support for the new administration. The recommendation that the leader had was for Mr. Pezeshkian to focus on the economic improvement of the country. And foreign policy, the leader referred to the idea of not waiting for some event outside Iran to engage in the daily business of the country.
Well, anger erupts in the occupied Golan Heights over the arrival of Israeli ministers for the funerals of victims of Saturday's rocket attack, with protesters demanding the ministers leave the area. Israeli Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich was met with shouts of "Get out of here, criminal," as he attended the memorial service. The Economy Minister Nir Barakat and the Environment Minister Idit Silvan also faced angry chants from the crowd. Participants at the ceremony condemned the Israeli ministers, saying they came to dance on the blood of their children. The funerals were held for 11 of the 12 people who lost their lives in a rocket attack the Israeli regime blamed on Hezbollah. The Lebanese resistance group, however, has denied having any role in the attack, warning the regime against using the incident as an excuse for new adventures in Lebanon. Well, Iran has warned that any foolish Israeli move against Lebanon can spread instability, insecurity, and the flames of war in the region. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani said the regime would be responsible for the unforeseen consequences of such a move. He said Israel has fabricated the scenario to divert global attention from its widespread crimes against Palestinians. The Iranian foreign ministry spokesman also urged the U.S. to stop Israel from starting a new war whose flames will engulf the Zionists. Earlier, we were joined by our correspondent in southern Lebanon, Mariam Saleh, and she talked about a little bit more about the escalation between Hezbollah and Israel.
Well, it's surprisingly calm up until now, despite some of the Israeli shelling that we witnessed and we heard throughout the night, actually, even in areas that are close to cities like Tyre, for example, which is densely populated. And this is an area which is not usually, of course, targeted by the Israelis. We know that they targeted the area of Abbasiyeh, which is one of the towns within the district of the Tyre, the city of Tyre. And we know from sources that what was targeted and what was shelled and destroyed actually was a medical supplies facility, and nothing that was, there were no casualties, there was no one there, it's not something military. So it seemed that the Israelis were attempting to show force in some areas and just trying to target certain places. There were also several attacks in even the west, the Bekaa area in Tareya, we know. That there were also there was also Israeli shelling in that area as well. However, we do know as well from Israeli media that the Israeli regime's prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, is supposed to be arriving in the regime today, later at 4 p.m., and will be meeting with the cabinet, they say, in order to make the right decision or to make a, some sort of a to take some sort of a decision on concerning the issue of Lebanon. We have that continuous threats, of course, from the Israeli media, from the Israeli, military spokesperson, from the officials saying that Hezbollah will be punished or Hezbollah will have to pay the price for what happened yesterday, in addition to the fact that they are saying that this rocket is an Iranian rocket, and it is, of course, would be continuous Israeli propaganda, especially Netanyahu's propaganda, trying to play on the issue of the Iranian support for the resistance, saying that it is the Iranian rocket, it was the Hezbollah forces, naming even the logistic commander of Hezbollah, who was responsible for the launching of these rockets. And so all of these are basically trying to frame the resistance in a manner where they would probably strike Lebanon in sort of a way that would, where they would say that this is a retaliation.
Meanwhile, more Palestinians are falling victim to the U.S.-Israeli genocide in Gaza as the regime in Tel Aviv goes on with its unrelenting air and artillery strikes on the besieged territory. At least one more Palestinian was killed and several others wounded in an Israeli bombing of an industrial area southwest of Gaza City. In a separate airstrike in the southern town of Abasan, a child was killed after regime warplanes targeted a residential building. The Israeli military also targeted several areas elsewhere in the strip, leaving an unknown number of Palestinians dead and injured. Famine is also taking its toll in Gaza, with many Palestinians, mostly children, dying of severe hunger and malnutrition. Israeli aggression on Gaza began last October. Since then, more than 39,300 people have been killed and over 90,000 others injured. Muti Abu Musab is our correspondent in Gaza, and he's provided further details regarding the recent Israeli air and artillery attacks in the coastal territory. Let's take a listen.
Essentially, the Israeli occupation forces continue to target multiple areas of Gaza Strip, basically the eastern part of Khan Yunis City. As you know, those areas are still the focal areas of the ongoing military operation targeting the eastern part of Khan Yunis City. More Israeli air strikes, in addition to the chronic artillery shelling, actually targeted those areas, including the major parts of the eastern part of Khan Yunis City. We are talking about Beni Suhaila, in addition to Abasan and Al-Karara neighborhoods. They are still under incessant attacks of the Israeli strikes. The last one, the fish attack, took place in Beni Suhaila neighborhood, targeted a mosque, which was completely destroyed by the Israeli occupation forces. In the meantime, five Palestinian civilians were extracted, killed from the rubble of the destroyed houses in Beni Suhaila neighborhood. Needless to mention that dozens of the Palestinian people are still believed missing under the rubble of those destroyed houses, while the Israeli occupation forces are still preventing the medical staff, in addition to the civil defense crews, from reaching those areas in order to evacuate the dead bodies. Those attacks are still incessant. We are talking about continuous and chronic artillery shelling targeting those areas, while the Israeli snipers are still topping multiple residential buildings, shooting at everyone moving in those areas. In the meantime, the Israeli occupation forces actually detonated multiple residential buildings and the squares in the Al-Karara neighborhood, which is located in the eastern part of Khan Yunis area, as you know. When it comes to Rafah City, the Israeli occupation forces continue to wage more air strikes and attacks against the western part of the city. More residential squares were detonated and blown up by the Israeli occupation forces.
The protesters have booed the Israeli anthem at the Olympics amid growing anger over the regime's participation in the games. The jeers and pro-Palestinian chants came before a football match between Israel and Paraguay. Protesters also held up genocide Olympic signs and waved Palestinian flags, Israel's anthem, and its players were also booed during the team's Olympic opener against Mali. There has been heavy security presence around the Israeli contingent in Paris. That's because of the persisting protests over the regime's participation in the games, despite widespread calls to ban it for its genocide in Gaza. And now to Venezuela, where people there are heading to the polls to choose the country's president for the next 6 years. Polls open at 6 a.m. local time. Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro cast his ballot early after the polls opened. He called on other presidential candidates and all political parties to declare their respect for official results. Maduro is seeking a third term in office. Opposition parties have come together to support a single candidate, Edmundo Gonzalez. Economy and mass immigration from the country are among the top concerns of the voters. 21 million Venezuelans are eligible to take part in Sunday's election, that where the polls will close at 6 p.m. local time. Iran Saadi Foundation is hosting a special teacher training event in Tehran. The foundation, which is in charge of promoting Persian language across the world, is hosting guests and enthusiasts from Iran and 12 other countries. Our correspondent Fatima Masumi brings us the details.
The summer school is bringing together around 50 advanced Persian learners from different parts of the world, including Russia, Turkey, Bosnia, Greece, Serbia, Turkmenistan, Kazakhstan, Thailand, Georgia, Armenia, Bangladesh, and Pakistan. The gathering has been organized in line with the policies of the foundation to promote the Persian language and literature and teaching it to non-Persian speakers.
The Saadi Foundation, from the very beginning, has always held a summer school to boost the language of foreign Persian learners. Due to the corona pandemic, this program had stopped. We are happy now that once again we are holding the program this year. Persian learners from various countries have been invited to Iran to improve their knowledge and also get acquainted with the Iranian culture and society.
Saadi is widely known as one of the four greatest poets of Persian literature. He has earned the nickname, the Master of Speech, for how he crafted his masterpiece, Gulistan, a landmark of Persian literature and one of the most influential works of prose in Persian literary tradition. His other magnum opus is Bustan, a book of poetry. His work makes him one of the pillars of the solid foundation of Persian language and literature, both in poetry and prose, to an extent that many Saadi scholars think Persian speakers are now speaking in the language of Saadi.
Well, I'm Sidon from Russia, and I'm studying the Persian language because I think that it's really important for understanding the Middle East and the Islamic culture. Also, speaking about myself, I'm an Arabic language and also the Persian. And Ben Zariman, in my opinion, the Persian is more beautiful, it's slightly and really melodic. And so I think that it's really nice to read and to declamate the Saadi, Hafez, Rumi, and of course Omar Khayyam. So, yes, it is.
I am Soner Sekan, I am from Armenia. I'm teaching Armenia in Persian in Armenian schools, and Persian is where Armenian school children are very interested in Persian, Persian culture and Iran. And as Iran is our neighbor country, it's very interesting for them to learn its language.
Saadi's aphorisms, derived from the teachings of the Quran and Hadith, have always been a gold standard for learners.
Iran's Saadi Foundation is a cultural academy aimed at promoting the Persian language across the world. It holds several Persian courses, both in Iran and abroad. Despite huge efforts, there are still unknown aspects of Saadi's personality and the brilliance of his art. Fateh Masumi, Tehran.
And with that report, it brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin. And thanks so much for staying with us.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, July 28, 2024. I'm Atif Erfani hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is the program which is broadcast on Sundays. And this is a program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and as usual, we've received piles of letters and emails from around the world. But in this edition of Listeners Special, we mention emails by Bashir Ahmad, by Mohammad Khaku from the US, and by Christopher Dot from Germany. And we've received reception reports from Christopher Dot from Germany and Bashir Ahmad from Pakistan. So I wanted just to send my warm appreciations to all of you who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world. We just wanted you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio and Listeners Special Program. And for your information, dear listeners, these reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers at IRIB English Radio, because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service for you, dear listeners, from around the world. And all of you who have sent in reception reports will be receiving QSL card from us, actually, electronic QSL card from us. Please stay with us. After a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back to your program, Listeners Special. And as we are basking in the month of Muharram, in the Islamic month of Muharram, which had the tragic event of Ashura inside it, we've received an email from Mohammad Khaku from the US about the month of Muharram and the Karbala and Ashura. Mohammad Khaku from the US says, Gaza, this modern day tragedy, is in essence a contemporary Karbala where the forces of tyranny are once again pitted against the cries for justice and freedom. We are the sons of Imam Hussein, and the name of Ali is always on our tongues. If our enemies besiege us economically, we are the children of Ramadan, and if they besiege us military, we are the children of Ashura. First of all, salam, Mohammad Khaku from the US. Warm greetings to you, and thank you very much for sending this email to IRIB English Radio and Listeners Special Program. Please accept our EQSL as confirmation to your email. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Again, thank you very much for your great perception of what is happening in Gaza and its similarities somehow with the events of Ashura in 61 AH. Many thanks, Mohammad Khaku from the US. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. After a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. And as we, the people of Iran and those who live in the northern hemisphere, are spending our summertime, I just wanted to talk about an Iranian, actually an ancient Iranian marvel, and that is Iranian wind catcher. Wind catchers of Iran are
great. They are marvelous. I just wanted you to look at them through internet, and maybe you have visited them in Iran. They are exclusively Iranian wind catchers. One of the cities that has placed great wind catchers is the city of Yazd, which I just wanted to mention this city and its marvels. Actually, in the times that there was no cooling system, no air conditioning in the world, Iran invented wind catchers, a kind of a structure that cooled houses or other buildings. The 5,000-year-old city of Yazd, located in the center of Iran, is one of the greatest adobe cities of the world. It is one of the driest cities of Iran, with the minimum amount of rain or snow falling. However, the dry climate of Yazd has been a blessing for it to get flourished in art and architecture. Recently, Yazd has been inscribed on UNESCO's World Heritage List as a priceless adobe city, embracing many pre-Islamic and Islamic attractions. Yazd, the city of wind catchers, is also well known as the jewel of desert. It is a do-not-miss destination for tourists who travel to Iran. And what is interesting about the great city of Yazd, as I mentioned, are its wind catchers. In the past, that there was no cooling system, as I said, Iranians were the ones who created wind catchers for cooling the hot summers. A wind catcher or wind tower is a traditional architectural feature that has been used to create cross ventilation and passive cooling in buildings. After reading your emails, I will continue to talk about this great marvel of Iran. Let's see what Christopher Dodd from Germany has said. Christopher Dodd from Germany says, "Dear sir or madam, I'm really happy to say that I have received your station, Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and heard your program in Husa language. If my reception report of your program was correct, I hope that you will send me a QSL card to my address." Christopher Dodd from Germany, salam, warm greetings to you, and thank you very much for sending this email and reception report. Thank you very much for that. Please accept our EQSL as confirmation to this email and your reception report. So, you received our programs in Husa language, which is one of the world service radios. So I just wanted you to listen to IRIB English radio programs and tell us your views about our programs. We will be very happy to have you with us. And if you wanted to communicate about the Husa language after you listen to their programs, you can send your emails in their website, actually. So please send more emails to IRIB English Radio and tell us your views about our programs. Many thanks, Christopher Dodd from Germany. After a short break, I will be back with you. Well, Iran's wind catchers stand as a reminder of how ancient civilizations have adapted to the region's harsh desert environment. In Farsi language, we call it Badgir. Yes, to survive the hot summer days, the architects of the city of Yazd and other Iranian cities designed wind catchers, which, as I said, we call it Badgir in Farsi language. The wind catchers act like natural ventilators. They are in the shape of high structures designed to cool the inner environment of the houses by receiving the wind, cooling it, and directing the stream of cool wind into the inner spaces. Usually, there are big or small ponds below the wind catchers to make the ventilation more effective. The tallest wind catcher in this dry city is located in Daulatabad Garden, fantastic Persian garden inscribed on UNESCO's World Heritage List. Yes, Daulatabad Garden. You can search it. Qanat, or in Farsi language, Qanat, is also another Persian innovation, elaborately applied in Yazd, to provide water. Local people took advantage of Qanat technique, and Qanat makers were the most skillful in Iran. Well, after a short break, I will be back with you. Well, wind catchers work in a few ways. The first and most common is to cool the inside of a building. The tower has openings that face the wind and trap it inside, creating a nice breeze inside the building, much like the way you feel in a wind tunnel between skyscrapers. When used with the Qanat, the air is pulled down, reaches the water, and is drawn up by the wind catcher to be dispersed in the building. It traps the wind to bring fresh air to the living rooms of houses in dry climate of the Iranian plateau. This high adobe brick tower has vents at the top up to the 8, and most chilled space cooperating with stored water built beneath it. When there is no wind, the wind catchers are like a chimney, letting the hot air rise and escape. When the hot air rises, flow is created and it escapes out of the chimney. Great. It's a marvel in Iran. Well, from Pakistan, we've received an email from Bashir Ahmad. Bashir Ahmad says, "Hi, my name is Bashir and I'm doing fine here. But as you know, I'm a big fan of IRIB English Radio, and recently I came across obstacles to listen to some programs I used to listen. Well, I think I've told you lately prior this time, but nothing changed. Thanks. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Bashir Ahmad from Pakistan, and many thanks for writing to us. It's an honor to have you with us as a big fan of IRIB English Radio. So, you said you came across obstacles to listen to some programs you used to listen. Bashir Ahmad, in your upcoming emails or letters, please let us know what those troubles are so we can fix your problems if the problems are on IRIB English Radio's behalf. Thank you very much for writing to us and telling us your views about our programs. Write to us soon, please. We wish you all the best, and please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. Well, dear listeners, here we've come to the end of our today's program. Many thanks for being with us. But before saying goodbye to you, I just wanted to send my warm gratitudes and appreciations to those of you who have kindly sent us reception reports and emails from around the world, including Christopher Haddad from Germany, Bashir Ahmad from Pakistan, and Mohammad Khaku from the US. Please keep in touch with us. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098 21 202-201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O you who believe, اِسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Amin Rastani.
The calamities that befall us, that we don't like, that we run away from, that we, if we embrace them for whatever they are and accept that this is a reality of life, have the potential to raise us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In addition to, of course, the deficient worship that we have. We weren't trying to hate on worship, by the way. Let me just say this. The worship still has to be there in its deficiency. Because I'm telling Allah, oh Allah, although I know my worship is deficient, I'm still doing it because I know this is what you want from me. So let's keep that in mind as well. Okay, so that makes up for the deficiency of our worship. So worship plus all the other stuff that we go through in this life. But if that has the potential to elevate us, the bala of the awliyaullah, the difference between that and the bala that we go through is that my bala is going to personally elevate me, while they say that the one who is one of awliyaullah and goes through their pain and suffering, their bala, it will not just elevate them, it elevates an ummah with them. Okay? And yes, because it's supposed to elevate an ummah with them, it's not going to be your normal, everyday, standard bala and hardship, necessarily. It's not going to be something that is expected for normal people to endure. I'll give you an example. Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, we have a hadith in Usul al-Kafi, that the sixth imam, he said, that a person who is free is always free. إِنَّ الْحُرْ حُرٌ عَلَى جَمِيعِ أَحْوَالِهِ A free person is always going to be free, not just in certain situations. Not in certain situations that we flex and we say, ah, I have tawakkul, I have Allah, I'm a free person, this and that. No, in all situations, even when the going gets rough. And so it goes on the hadith. I'm going to reach to the part that I need here, where it says that Yusuf was ustu'bida, he was taken as a slave. And he was, they had dominion over him and power over him. He was a nobody. And he was taken prisoner and captivated. But the darkness of the well, it didn't affect him. The horror and fright that he had of the darkness of the well didn't get to him. He endured. He was patient. To the extent that Allah, mannallahu alayhi, Allah did minnat on him, favored him. And so he made the one that was on top of him, the ruler that was over him, all of a sudden subordinate to him. We all know the story because there's a movie on it. بعد إذ كان له مالكا فأرسله ورحم به أمة. Yusuf passed all those tests. As a result, guess what Allah did? رحم الله به أمة. Allah showed mercy and grace to an ummah because of Yusuf. The barakah of such an individual and the bala that they go through is that an ummah is helped because of them. The people of Egypt were saved. Yusuf's brothers were saved. His family was brought to Egypt. His father was cured, etc., etc. So everything because one person was a proper abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then here I am thinking, when I do something wrong, when I do something haram, oh, it's just me, whatever. No. These sins that we commit, they have an effect on the natural world, whether we like it or not. The secular people, they'll laugh at us. But that's what our sources are telling us. So which this all brings me now to the calamity of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Yeah. If Yusuf, the people of his time, yeah, they were marhum and were subject to the rahmah of Allah as a result of his patience, then Imam Hussein alayhi salam, you know, it goes without mentioning that his bala, because it's the highest of all balas, that other prophets of God, according to our hadiths, when they heard his story, they couldn't stop but weeping and couldn't eat for God knows how long. When his musibah happens, it's not just one ummah of one time that is going to be saved and secured. But guess what? Everybody who somehow connects with Imam Hussein alayhi salam is going to be affected positively in one way or another. Throughout time, brothers and sisters, throughout time, throughout history, I'll just give you like one story, okay? But we'll have other stories similar to these. God knows, you and I might have our own personal stories as a result of Imam Hussein. Yeah? Whether we like it or not, Imam Hussein, what's so special about Imam Hussein? Isn't Imam Hassan better than Imam Hussein? Isn't Imam Ali better than Imam Hussein? He himself said to his sister Zainab that they're better than me. Be patient. You were patient when you lost them. Be patient when you lose me. He said they're better than me. What is it though? What is it that Imam Hussein stands out? Although out of the five members of the cloak, of course Rasulullah is higher than him. Of course the rest. But what is it? Was the tragedy. لقد عظمت المصيبة بك علينا وعلى جميع أهل السماوات والأرض. Like, are you kidding me? Of course something like this is going to have a very wide net that pulls in everybody. I'll give you one example. We have so many stories of thugs, problematic people, who made their way back because of Imam Hussein. It's not even them having a dialogue with Imam Hussein or speaking to Imam Hussein. Just hearing about him or just knowing about him was enough to bring them back, although they spent their lives in haram and sin. One of those individuals, there's a story about him, like 50, 60 years ago maybe. There's a sheikh, he says, I was going for, you know, Muharram lectures in one of these villages of Iran, or cities of Iran, wherever it was. On the night of Ashura, I come and I see everyone standing outside the Imam Bargah. No one's going inside. What's going on? Why aren't you going inside? They say that famous thug of the city, he's inside. He's yelling and screaming, and he's not. And we're afraid. If we go in, he might attack us. If we confront him, he might attack us. What do we do? He says, okay, let me go in. He goes in. This guy is, you know, obviously yelling and screaming, and then he's reciting a line of poetry while he's doing it. It's Farsi again. Tonight I'm doing a lot of poetry. He says, بردند زر زر مه پیکران دلم را. That little by little, now I'll word it like this, okay? I'll try to keep it as appropriate as I can. But the beautiful ones have taken me little by little, right? All these beautiful people out there, they're taking from me little by little, okay? He's talking about haram stuff. All right. یک ذره دیگر ماند تا قسمت که باشد. There's one little piece of me left. In other words, I'm so awesome. I'm so great. Everyone wants a piece of me. Everyone wants a piece of me. And yeah, all of my pieces are gone. There's only one piece of me left. Let's see who's going to get that piece. Which beautiful person is going to get that piece? The sheikh says, I told him right away, I said, that last piece, keep that one for Imam Hussein. Don't give it to anybody else. This is the night of Ashura. The guy breaks down right there. Who has the power of to confront someone with this much ego? Nobody. But Imam Hussein, someone who doesn't live now, 1400 years ago, who we never saw him, never saw what happened to him, just heard. This guy breaks down because that's enough for him and his ego to be destroyed. Allah raises an ummah. And ummahs, let's say plural, in different times and different people, all shapes and sizes and colors and backgrounds. Because of the calamity that this one person went through. The guy breaks down. The shaykh says, all right, people, it's time to come back to the majlis now. Don't worry about him anymore. And all night, this person's in his own world. And after that, usually these people, they live very righteous lives. We might talk about one of them another night as well, inshallah. Yeah, so to sum it all up, brothers and sisters, number one, we were brought here for ubudiyya and to get closer and closer to Allah. The only way to get closer to Allah is to put aside the me, that ana, that ego that we have. And so there are different ways to do that. Sometimes through worship, but worship has its vulnerabilities. Sometimes calamities befall us. Calamities are good because when a calamity befalls you, you're not arrogant about yourself anymore. You understand your weakness. Another difference is that because these calamities are coming from Allah, they have the potential to do a lot, while our worship is deficient. If we were to only rely on our worship, we probably wouldn't get anywhere. That's the difference between calamity and worship. But then when it comes to the calamities, there are some calamities that elevate us. Those are the calamities of normal people. And there are some calamities that elevate people and peoples in all times. And of course, the greatest of all calamities is the tragedy of Aba Abdullah and Hussein.
I swear to Allah, whenever I face troubles in my life, I close my eyes and see your shrine and call the back every time. Oh, Hussein, you're the love of my heart. You are the light of my eyes. I swear to Allah, until my last breath, I will remember Hussein.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kHz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments.
You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/parstodayen. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
The following is the part of the message delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the scholars overseeing the 5th Global Conference of Imam Rida, peace be upon him, on May 8th, 2024. In my opinion, three dimensions of the lives of the Imams, peace be upon them, must be studied. One of those dimensions is spirituality or the holiness of the Imams, peace be upon them. In the same way is their words and teachings in various fields, which you gentlemen have also mentioned. The third issue is politics. So these three sections in the life of Imam Rida, peace be upon him, and the rest of the Imams need to be explained. Your job is to first extract these three sections. Then you need to ensure that any exaggerations or unjustified claims are filtered out of our words. Finally, this third point is the most important of all. You need to use appropriate language, a modern day language that is understandable to a non-Shia and even to a Shia audience. Now, the separation of some of our youth from these teachings isn't less than that of the non-Shia and of the non-Muslims. They are uninformed. Explain these to them. I believe that if this is done, this conference will no longer be a mere gathering with speeches and such things. It will have a tangible benefit. May God's greetings, mercy, and blessings be upon you.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
We should promote love for Hussein ibn Ali throughout the world. September 18th, 2019. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and peace and greetings be upon our Master and Prophet, Abul Qasim Mustafa Muhammad, and upon his pure, immaculate, and chosen household, especially the one remaining with Allah on earth. You are very welcome, dear brothers. This meeting is a memorable and historic meeting for me. What was said at this meeting, the poem that was recited, and the eulogy that was performed are each a living sign of the greatness of Karbala and the greatness of Hussein ibn Ali, peace be upon him. I enjoyed it. I hope that in this trip, you, dear brothers, will have a good time in your own homes and among your own brothers. I have written down a few sentences to discuss with you. The first point is a word of gratitude. From the bottom of my heart, and on behalf of the great Iranian nation, I would like to thank you, Mukebdaran, caterers of pilgrimage on the way to Karbala, who perfected the meaning of generosity, affection, kindness during the days of Arba'in. Also, I would like to thank the great Iraqi nation and the Iraqi government officials who ensured the safety of pilgrims and who prepared the ground. In particular, I really deem it necessary to thank the esteemed ulama and the grand marja taqlids of Iraq who prepared grounds for pilgrimage and for brotherhood between masses of the people and between our two nations.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. I want to thank you for bringing me home.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every